The superhero origin story of bluegrass music typically focuses on the night that Bill Monroe, Earl Scruggs, and Lester Flatt first performed together on the Grand Ole Opry at the Ryman Auditorium in December 1945. But since Bill Monroe is the father of bluegrass, then his own origins are even closer to the source. And that is to be found in northwestern Kentucky in the towns of Rosine and Owensboro. And there's a lot of activity and investment there that'll give musical pilgrims a lot to see and learn about in the years to come. I recently paid a visit and brought back this report.
Well, we're proud to be here today. It's been a long time coming. We've been talking about this for many, many years.
Judge David Johnson is one of several speakers at a ceremony in the tiny but famous town of Rosine, Kentucky, on a pretty May morning. Locals and assorted dignitaries are on hand to break ground for a new Bill Monroe Museum, the latest addition to a set of landmarks that have been luring national and international visitors to this area for years.
Bill Monroe was born in Ohio County. So when they come to Ohio County, they'll first see his boyhood home.
This is Jody Fleener, the county's tourism director. She's referring to the Bill Monroe Home Place, a 1917 house that was renovated and opened to the public in 2001.
That's the birth of bluegrass. They'll come to our museum to see Bill's life, his history, his story of how the genre was created. It's really a small little sleepy town with a diamond in the rough. And it's an exciting thing to develop.
There's also a barn with Friday night jams and a reconstruction of the cabin that belonged to Monroe's mentor and uncle, Pendleton Vandeveer, the guy who was enshrined in the hit Uncle Penn. State Senator C.B. Embry points out that Monroe and Uncle Penn are in fact laid to rest right here as well.
And of course, Rosine Cemetery has that huge monument to Bill Monroe and to Uncle Penn, who he wrote a great song about. Step by step, Rosine will become more and more of a stop for tourism. Yes, it will.
After some remarks and performances by a local youth string band, eight men stand by with eight gold-painted shovels.
One gentleman shovel dirt.
Yeah!
An even more ambitious bluegrass destination is in the works, 30 miles to the north on the banks of the Ohio River. Here in Owensboro, Kentucky, the construction is industrial in scale.
This is the north side of the museum and theater.
Chris Jostlin is executive director of the International Bluegrass Music Museum and Hall of Fame, an Owensboro-based institution established in 1991. He's overseeing a $15.4 million construction of a new building that will double the current museum's exhibit space, add a 450-seat theater, plus an outdoor venue for 1,500. It's all part of an Owensboro partnership and master plan.
What used to be just an eroding riverbank is now about six city blocks of cascading fountains, outdoor performance venues, a world-class playground, and that gives way to a performing arts center down next to the bridge right here on the Ohio River. So just a beautiful thing to see it all take shape.
The city of Owensboro found its way into bluegrass history in 1985 when it played host to the organization of and the first conventions by the International Bluegrass Music Association. Over at the current museum, a few blocks away, Jocelyn tells me that even though the IBMA moved its headquarters on to Nashville some years ago, his area remains dedicated to telling the story of one of America's greatest musical genres.
One of the things that we're trying to create here and in Rosine is place. I mean, bluegrass has become a regional, national, international phenomenon, and that is awesome. But we also want to give bluegrass a place. We want to give it an anchor, and I think that's what we're doing with the Bluegrass Museum and Hall of Fame.
The museum tracks the story of bluegrass music from its initial influences, string band music, the blues, big band swing, and even polka, through the big bang of Bill Monroe and on to decades of gradual and sometimes dramatic evolution.
Bluegrass music continues to evolve, so it's important for us to talk about the roots and the sources of this music and its evolution, you know, through the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and on. But the story continues to be written today, so there are artists right now that are pushing the envelope and contributing to this music. And I think about myself, it wasn't that long ago, I was the kid, but now I'm watching a new generation come and embrace this music and bring such creativity to it. So certainly through the exhibits we can tell that story, through film, it's just a multimedia experience, and I think that's the key. We want people to not just come be a spectator, but come and experience this music.
One way to do that is to attend ROMP, the official fundraising bluegrass festival that's been staged by the Bluegrass Museum for 14 years. It's coming up June 21st to 24th. Danny Clark, the museum's manager of special events, says ROMP has gone through its own renovation in recent years.
I know the first couple of years that they had a festival here, it was just kind of a smaller, traditional bluegrass festival. And, of course, we want to kind of update that. We want to have one foot in the past. We want to have one foot in the future. So in order to do that, you kind of got to change up your lineup. And, of course, that was done 6 or 7 years ago.
Clark and other organizers invited cutting-edge bands and new bluegrass stars with the potential to truly draw big crowds. The game changer was the Steep Canyon Rangers, fronted by banjo playing actor Steve Martin.
The explosion hit right there. It ignited, and ROMP just continues to sell more and more tickets every year. You could stand up on that stage on a Saturday night and overlook 10 to 15,000 people easily.
The synergies made possible by a major bluegrass festival and an expanded museum in Owensboro, plus the cluster of Bill Monroe attractions in nearby Rosine, are setting up the region for the kind of music-driven tourism that's been developed in Virginia, Mississippi, and Louisiana. Chris Jocelyn will be here, ready to put an instrument in your hand.
As I've said before, I don't think bluegrass music is a great spectator sport, but it's an awesome sport to participate in. That's what we want to do, is invite people to engage and participate with us.
And sure enough, before I know it, Jocelyn, Clark, and I are in the current museum's community room picking a couple of songs. For WMOT, I'm Craig Havikhurst.
Pretty girls.